Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1. On-demand audio.
So the G20 summit took shape this weekend. President Trump getting some things done. A lot of stories unfolding as the G20 went on. And so we have an expert on to talk with you about that now. Peter Brooks, a senior fellow at Heritage National Security Affairs. Peter Brooks, thanks so much for coming on today. We appreciate your time.
Good to be with you.
So what was your assessment? Give me the overall reaction that you had to Donald Trump and his endeavors at the G20 this weekend.
I thought it was successful. I guess it could be characterized, some people would say, by the meetings that didn't take place, such as between the president and President Putin, as your lead-in talked about. Also, the president didn't meet with the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, who's been caught up in this situation regarding the journalist Khashoggi. But he also did meet with President Xi. So I would say meetings is probably the bumper sticker for me, and that means meetings that happened and didn't happen. We had some movement on U.S.-China trade. The Chinese have agreed to come to the table, which is good. President Trump has certainly gotten their attention with the hardball he's playing with them on trade issues. And they've agreed to buy a bunch of American goods, but we're certainly not out of the woods on that issue because it's only a 90-day ceasefire on the trade war until we make decisions about whether we return to it or we make some progress.
You know, the trade war is something that has been building some momentum, a little bit of tension, of course, as it has gone, and you're waiting for one of these leaders to blink. President Trump and his staff, his advisors, seem to have the mentality of this is a longer game than just a victory right now. This is something that's been in the making for some time. Administrations before have said that this is something that needs to be addressed and haven't taken it head on. Peter, what is your assessment of the importance of coming to a resolution, but more importantly, the right resolution between the United States and China?
Well, it's critical. You're right. These structural issues in doing business with China have been around for a long time. This is not new. The fact that they steal our intellectual property, the fact that there isn't rule of law where American firms can get redress. There's issues on other tariff barriers, subsidies to state-owned enterprises, tariffs on our goods going there, ownership. There's so many things, and the president is right to take it on. And the only way you could get the attention of the Chinese is to play hardball. And the Chinese need the American market. These are the two largest economies in the world, and the Chinese economy has actually slowed. It's growing at its slowest rate in 10 years. So he's gotten the attention. I would say that, you know, President Xi kind of blinked with one eye, but he blinked and was willing to come to the table. But I think progress is going to be very tough. This is like North Korea. This is a very heavy lift. The Chinese have been getting away with these bad trade practices for years, decades, and it's going to be very difficult for them to change course. But there is a possibility of that, and we should be happy for that for those reasons.
So let me ask you this. When it comes to President Trump and his dealings with other world leaders, when we're talking about North Korea and Kim Jong-un, we're talking about Russia and Vladimir Putin, it seems to me like there's a lot of optics and drama, and it seems a little bit, I don't know, minor league compared to a head-to-head with President Xi of China. Do these two men, when they get together, Is this a very high-level business conversation? Do Trump and Xi mutually respect one another in an effort to have these conversations?
Well, it's hard for me to say. It'd be hard for you to say because we're not in the room, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
in all honesty, that's the case. The only thing we can judge is the outcomes. There's going to be a photo spray at the beginning. You know, there'd be maybe some handshakes, some smiling, things along that line. Sometimes we get to see, body language. But it's very hard to say other than the outcomes. And the outcome we've seen in the short term here is this agreement. The Chinese were very concerned that the United States was going to, we already have a 10% tariff on $200 billion worth of goods coming into the United States from China, and the president was going to raise that to 25% on January 1st. So that was 30 days away. He's pushed that off 2 months, and in the meantime, the 10% is not going to come off. But in terms of, you know, I think the only way we can judge it, people who aren't in the room, is from what we hear about the meetings and then the outcome. But in this case, obviously, President Xi has, agreed to some things that he hadn't agreed to previously. So there must be a healthy respect coming from the Chinese towards the American administration.
So I'm asking this question mostly because it's way above my head, and probably a lot of people, they're like, okay, yeah, China, trade war, President Xi, this seems important. And then people decide if they like the president or don't, and then that's how they base their opinion on whether or not this goes their
human
way.
Nature.
Yes,
human nature,
exactly.
Right?
You put your uniform on, you go to your corner. Realistically speaking here, if President Trump is successful in his negotiations with China, what is the actual real tangible implication for the United States and our economy?
It would be a tremendous positive boost, because China is going to be the largest market in the world. I mean, it's 1.3 to 1.5 billion people. I mean, think about it. I mean, we're 300 and some million. I mean, this is a country five times the size of the United States. And as these people move into the middle class and their incomes become better and their standard of living becomes better, they're going to consume more goods. And the United States feels it can compete there, especially on the services. Think about it. You know, we're not necessarily a goods economy as much as we were, but we have a tremendous number of services. We could sell other things. We sell aircraft, to China. We can sell medical equipment, things along these lines, high tech. As long as they don't undermine us militarily. But the fact of the matter is that if we can get into that market and we can compete, I mean, American firms that are operating there cannot sell goods in China. They have to export them. So think if you have a plant and you're over there building things and you can't sell it to the Chinese people. You can only sell it abroad because the Chinese don't want American firms to compete with Chinese firms domestically in one of the world's largest markets. So if we could do that, I think there's tremendous opportunities for the United States. If we can get a flat and fair playing field with the Chinese on these economic issues, I think it would be a tremendous, and other countries too, but a tremendous boom for the United States and being competitive.
We're speaking with Peter Brooks, the senior fellow at Heritage and National Security Affairs. It's so great to have your insight on this, because this is probably the most important stuff happening in the world and often the least talked about, because it's just not as salacious as a lot of what's
complicated stuff.
Yes, exactly. Let's talk about China, but also our relationship, our American relationship with China in the context of the region with North Korea and with Russia and Ukraine. How are we doing? How is this administration doing on making sure that we're in the right position regarding our relationships with these countries where there's a little bit of turmoil right now?
Well, it's tough. These are powerful countries, right? I mean, these are, we just talked about China. I mean, China has the world's second largest economy, 1.5 billion people. It's an increasingly capable military. It's very active diplomatically worldwide. The Chinese, I think, want to replace the United States as the preeminent power in the Pacific, and I think internationally, overall. They have these sort of goals. Russia's a problem on the other side of the world. Well, they actually do span all the way to the Pacific, but they're not. Most of their power is concentrated in the European side of Russia, and Russia, as you know, is not a fan of ours either.
Yeah.
See all the things we're doing. But these are powerful countries. These are nuclear weapon states. You can't just push them around. So this takes a lot of deft diplomacy and policymaking to try to protect and advance American interests. And look at Iran and North Korea, the same thing. These are countries that are very, very difficult, and these are very heavy lifts. And the policymakers are working very. They can't demand things. They're making decisions, policy decisions, to try to, like I said, advance our interests against people who may not want to see our interests advance. So there are real challenges here in Washington, and I hope people understand that. It's not arithmetic or engineering, it's very much 2 + 2 = 5 or 2 + 3 = 7 sometimes. So it's very, very difficult. You're dealing with other human beings and other countries with different interests than the United States.
Yeah. Well, President Trump comes to the Oval Office with quite a different set of tools than his predecessors when it comes to how he's going to approach the presidency and his job as a deal maker. Certainly one of the assets that he came into the office of the presidency with was his ability to work with people and understand how to get from where you are, which might seem like a standoff, to a place where you can both have a deal that you agree with. How do you feel this president has done so far regarding these foreign issues and going into the G20 with the unique set of tools that he has?
Well, I mean, like I said, a lot of these are heavy lifts, right? I mean, I'm happy with the president's foreign policy. I'm glad what he did with the Iran nuclear deal. I'm glad he's engaging with North Korea, which the previous administration didn't do. But once again, that's very difficult. That's very challenging. He's doing things to, you know, oppose Russia's efforts to undermine the West in Europe. And he's fighting back against China. So I think, and look what he's done with ISIS. I mean, I'm not telling you not to think about terrorism anymore, but we've made tremendous gains in terms of the terrorist threat.
Mm-hmm.
I even hate to say anything like that to jinx it, but the fact is that is reality. I think that he's done very well, but these are very, very difficult problems that coming into office in 2017, in January of 2017, he had no hand in creating.
Yeah. Well, Peter Brooks with Heritage Foundation, it's so great to have your insight on our show today for our listeners. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Peter Brooks there, a senior fellow at Heritage and National Security Affairs. Go follow him on Twitter at Brooks_Peter and tell him thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.